What a weekend. I'm impressed that so many of you are here this morning. I'm impressed I'm here this morning. Happy Canada 150 plus. What a weekend of mixed emotion. Great pride and great sorrow. It's one of those years when we can't escape both ends of that spectrum. The pride of our country in Confederation 150 years ago, and all of the wonderful leadership over the years, and the pride that we have as being a nation. I don't know if you read some of the articles in the Globe and Mail yesterday from our Prime Minister and from other people who spoke of a nation that is a place where people want to be, where certainly we want to be, and where others clamor to be. A place that is known for its peace and for its grace and for its politeness. A place where yesterday, when there were thousands of people downtown, I was right in the midst of it, when people tried to cut across to go a different direction, they would say, "Excuse me, excuse me, excuse me," not just shove their way through. That's the kind of place in which we live. And yet, it's also a place of great pain and sorrow for our first peoples. For some of them, Confederation actually was a good thing, but for many of them, that legacy of abuse and pain lives on to this day. And so we hold them in our hearts and in our prayers as well, because that's a legacy that we still work with and deal with each and every day. And if we aren't, we should be. Somewhere between those true truths lies our truth. That's what my mother used to say when I got caught in those 12-year-old girl things. Well, what she's saying is probably true. And what she's saying is probably true. And the truth lies somewhere between those two truths. Because all of us live out of our experience, don't we? We have our own truth, each one of us, our own lives. We have the truth of our ancestors, whoever they may be, whether we know them and whether we're proud of them or whether we're not. We have the truths in which we live our lives every day, the things that we really believe in, that show forth with grace and glory, and the things that we wish we didn't believe in sometimes, that show themselves in other ways. The things we ask for forgiveness for on a Sunday morning. And the truth of our lives lies in the midst of all of that. And it may seem messy, but it's also a place of great grace. On Friday evening, our cathedral held a service. A couple of us were there, a few of us were there, called a Prayer for Canada 150 plus. It was a night that I will never forget. It is probably one of the most amazing liturgical events that I have ever attended. It was graceful and beautiful and strong and passionate and sad and incredibly joyful. It was everything because it held what our country is in one space, in our faith as well. And it began, of course, with the amazing choir from the cathedral, which, of course, in this beautiful space of our mother church, is everything that speaks of privilege and prestige and of confederation. And there, seated right in front of them, were the drummers, the Ottawa River Singers. And as soon as the choir ended, the drummers started, with their high-pitched, amazing voices and drums that I can still feel today in my soul that were so strong and so clear, that brought forth passion and immense, immense emotion. And there were all of the leaders of our main faiths. We had Muslim and Jewish and Christian leaders gathered together in one place to pray for Canada 150. 150 because the Indigenous nations have dwelt here continuously for millennia. And so 150 plus recognizes the history of our first peoples before Confederation. It also recognizes our shared history, which we live into yet today. During the service on Friday night, Albert Dumas, who is Oshkenoden, who is the Algonquin spiritual leader, spoke a couple of times. But the time, I think, which was the most amazing for me was at the end, because we had had the chaplain general pray prayers. We had all of the religious leaders pray in different ways, give blessings and all of those things. And he stood up and very simply said, "No matter who you are, your prayers are equal." And he spoke of as a child, one of the men that he knew in his community had had an accident which meant that he couldn't speak properly. And his words were garbled. And as a child, he couldn't understand him. Only those in his close family members could understand what he said. But as Albert said on Friday night, his prayers were just as eloquent to our Creator as the ones we hear tonight. The prayers of all of our hearts, the prayers that come from all of our truths, no matter where they are equally eloquent to our Creator. And to wrap it all up the other evening, to watch that prayer in action was a 10-year-old boy, an Inuit boy who came out incredibly cute. I mean, what 10-year-old boy isn't cute, right? Comes out in his full Inuit dress with his drum, and he captured the hearts and the souls and the attention of every person, of over 250 people there, as he spun and twirled and drummed and occasionally would let out this amazing sound. And I don't even know how long he danced for. I have no idea. But it felt like it was timeless. And at the end, we sang, "For the earth forever turning, for the skies for every sea, to our Lord we sing, returning home to our blue-green hills of earth." Because that's what our lives are about, especially as people of faith, is to return home. And in the midst of all of this emotion and all of this grace and all of this pain and all of this joy, how do we do that? How do we return home? Well, we read the words this morning in our gathering. Jesus Christ is good news for the poor, release to the captives, recovery of sight for the blind, and liberty for those who are oppressed. We live in a nation that at times has been blind, and we pray for recovery of sight. We live in a place where there are poor, and we pray indeed that there will no longer one day be poor. We live in a nation where there are captives, and we pray that one day they will be released. And we pray for those who have been oppressed, because some of those may be some of you. And we hope that through our faith and our life and our witness, the truth of your life may be touched by Jesus' grace. Isaiah tells us today that comes through great leadership. It's a reading that talks about a king who will reign in righteousness, and that everyone who hears that king will listen, that the minds of the rash will have good judgment, that a fool will be called a noble, and that justice will dwell in the wilderness, and that people will abide in peaceful habitation. And in Colossians, Paul talks about clothing ourselves in forgiveness. The forgiveness that we ask for, which is right up front in today's service, I put it there intentionally this week, right after our Benedicite, which has been a little bit rewritten, as you noticed. I know some of you love the pickerel in particular. But we talk about that wonderful creation, and yet we have to also ask for forgiveness as in the midst of our celebration. And today in the gospel, we are told to love, to absolutely love one another. And that is our greatest commandment. What we forget sometimes is that it's not someone else who's supposed to love. It's us. Jesus said, I don't call you servants any longer. Because the servant just doesn't really know what the master's doing and only takes orders. None of us are servants. We have been chosen by virtue of our faith, by virtue of being here this morning, by virtue of God choosing us. Just as every other person in the world has been chosen to carry out a greater good. Just as our brothers and sisters from other faiths, just as those who have no faith. That is what God's message is that we are called to live our truth, to live it abundantly, and to live into God's truth. That's how we learn to love one another. That's how we learn to be a better nation than we already have been. That's where our truth will be found. So, happy Canada 150 plus. And may we work on the plus. Amen.